You're listening to Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. A group of doctors and nurses at Group Health Cooperative's Primary Care Center in Madison is fighting to form a union. The conflict shines a light on the state of primary care medicine today. Nick Rommel spoke with members during a recent strike at Meritor Hospital in Madison.
We are the union!
In late May, nurses at Meritor marched outside their hospital, carrying signs that called for higher staffing levels. They argued that better staffing would help healthcare workers and their patients, and they were joined on the picket line by doctors and nurses from the primary care provider Group Health Cooperative, or GHC. In December, a group of GHC employees filed a petition to unionize with the Service Employees International Union. They feel that management has eroded the unique community and preventive approach they value at GHC. And they also feel that having a say in those decisions would improve GHC for everyone.
We want to have more say in the management of our organization and move away from just thinking about profit and corporate, you know, needs and desires to be thinking about, you know, really truly patient centered, focused care.
That's Kyoko Felland, a physician assistant at GHC. To her, one example of that was her company phasing out its in-house psychiatry service for patients who were acutely depressed or suicidal. All that did, she said, was make primary care doctors have to do more with less.
When there's not a mental health provider in the clinic, it goes to us. There's nowhere else for that to go.
On the nursing side, certified medical assistant Katie Cloud says the staffing issues affecting nurses in hospitals are present at GHC, too.
There's too much work and not enough people to do the work, not enough people to make the phone calls.
Within days of the picket, the nurses union at Meritor had reached an agreement with management, but GHC providers are still fighting. Issues that doctors and nurses are seeing at GHC fit into a larger pattern, the fact that primary care, across the country, doesn't make enough money. That's according to Hayden Rooklay, fellow at the American Economic Liberties Project and Brown University. He researches corporate consolidation and labor organizing in healthcare. He says primary care is increasingly used by big healthcare corporations as a way to funnel patients into more lucrative hospital procedures. That puts independent primary care providers, like GHC, in a tough spot.
An overall competitive landscape where primary care, sort of as a standalone feature, is really unprofitable.
He says more and more doctors, including those in primary care, are turning to unions to have a say over how to do their job. In fact, he found that in 2023 and 2024, the same number of physicians joined a union as in the 22 years before that combined.
There is a real sense among this workforce that they're simply not able to carry out their calling of, you know, their profession.
GHC management says it supports its employees' right to unionize, but the process has been rocky. The union's original goal was to represent staff at just one clinic. Management argued that an election had to take place at all clinics, so the decision was thrown to the National Labor Relations Board. 2 months later, in March, the board decided in management's favor. The union claims management used that time for a union-busting campaign. It's charged the company with dozens of labor law violations. These include firing a worker for union activity, soliciting screenshots of a pro-union group chat, and banning employees from discussing the union at work. At the Meritor picket, Dr. Nisha Rajagopalan said there have also been more managers in the hallways and in the break rooms. It's being presented as management being more available, she said.
But it feels very different in this particular situation when all of a sudden somebody who's never been there before is now there.
GHC management declined an interview request, but in a statement, an executive called the charges unfounded and said they were aimed at avoiding an election. Meanwhile, the union has claimed management's actions make a fair election impossible. Organizers are calling on the company to recognize its original proposed union. A potential election date is still up in the air as the Labor Relations Board resolves the union's charges, as well as coercion charges made by GHC management against the union. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Wisconsin Today. Now, visiting the local pool is a great way to cool off this summer and gather with friends.
But a community in Lafayette County in southwestern Wisconsin lost their local pool.
Back in 2019, the village of Blanchardville closed their public pool after it was deemed unsafe and unfixable by Wisconsin's Department of Safety and Professional Services.
Neighborhood volunteers then took it upon themselves to replace it. After years and countless hours of development, they're opening a new swim pond this summer.
Today, we're learning more about the community project and what it took to make it happen with two members of the Friends of McKellar Park, Inc. in Blanchardville. Judy Moen is president of the group. Marsha Crooks is the project manager. Marsha, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
And Jody, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Let's start with the end of the old pool. Jody, what led the community pool in Blanchardville to close back in 2019?
The pool has always been a big part of the community. It's been over 60 years that the pool has existed, but before that it was a pond. Probably for the last decade or more, the pool has been facing a lot of major issues. There were leaks, water had to be replaced every few days, the structure was crumbling. It was a major hub for recreation, but it just wasn't safe anymore. And then DNR ended up determining that it just wasn't safe to keep it open. The village had to make the tough decision to close it down.
And Marsha, it sounds like this was a long tradition in the community and people noticed the absence of this swimming place. How did this affect the community?
Yeah, I would say summertime in Blanchardville, the McKellar Park pool was kind of the heart of the community. Many of us learned how to swim in that pond, myself included. And it was a place to see your friends in the summer, for high school kids to have jobs, for our fire and EMS to have dive training. So the community definitely sensed the loss of the pool immediately upon its closure.
And Marsha, you're the project manager for the new swim pond. Now, the repair of the old pool, that was out. Looking at a new pool, people may not think of it. They can be expensive for a community. What ended up making the idea of, hey, let's just have a new pool, ultimately not the path to pursue?
Yeah, our committee, we've been at this for 5 years. We started our first big fundraising event right before COVID shut the world down, right? And so it kind of put a hold on things. And when we sort of resurfaced after COVID, the cost of this pool that we were going to build just kept climbing and climbing. And the pool wasn't truly what we desired for our community as far as the design in regards to what we could afford. And it was just starting to feel like that number was unattainable for us. We were writing for lots of grants, but nobody wants to really fund an outdoor pool in these communities anymore, is what we discovered. So we put our heads together to just try to figure out what alternative solution could we have. And we started talking about a swim pond and looking at photos. And we all just really love that we're going back to the roots of where this all started. There was a pond there a very long time ago, switched to a pool, and now we're going right back to a pond again.
Jody, we'll get into the swim pond in a little bit. But as you were going to the community and saying, okay, pool doesn't look like it's going to happen, a pond, a swimming pond, how did people respond to that idea?
Honestly, it was overwhelmingly positive. When Marsha first proposed this to our group and we saw the possibilities of it, we were very excited. And it was presented to the village board and they took it with great enthusiasm, and we shared it on our Facebook page. And just the amount of outpouring of support with it was tremendous. And ever since then, we've had a couple of events to fundraise and things that we always do a couple of annual events anyway, but just having the number of people that have sent checks or have posted things on our Facebook page or just sent notes or see us in public, the support is quite amazing.
We're talking about a new swim pond opening this summer in Lafayette County. We've got Jody Moen and Marsha Crooks of the Friends of McKellar Park, Inc. That's in Blanchardville. We're finding out what it takes to make a local community project like this a reality. Marsha, talk us through the swim pond. Now, this is an artificial pond, if I'm looking at things right?
Yeah, so we're working with several different people to make this happen. So we've been working very closely with Wisconsin Lake and Pond. Our swim pond will have a synthetic liner, so it's not going to be a mud bottom, dirty, mucky pond. It'll be very clean. There will be 6 to 8 feet of water clarity. So once that synthetic liner's in, we can start filling. Our group will continue to fundraise to pay Wisconsin Lake and Pond to come in and treat the water, so we make sure it's great quality for all of our people who want to use it. We're working with Wisconsin recreation specialists to get some nice big inflatables in there. We'll have a big one in the deep end and a smaller one in the shallow end. And we're just so excited about the potential and the possibilities that this is going to bring for our community.
Jody, you mentioned the fundraisers. What goes into planning this out so it's not just, hey, we have enough money to build this pond, but we have a sustainable plan to maintain this swimming pond on into the future?
Yeah, we actually, with the money that we've raised so far, we've been investing in CDs and different things so that we can keep that going. And we'll continue the events that we do. We have a golf outing that will be coming up in October. And then we have what we call the Blue Jean Ball, which is always in April, and it's located in Blanchardville. And we've had great support for that event. We've gotten a really good following of people and a lot of loyal people that just consistently send money or support us in some way or another, or help us promote all of this. So I think now that people are seeing the construction happening right now, that is even making it more real. And we'll be looking to build a shelter eventually, which actually we hope sooner than later.
Marsha, I used to work at my uncle's swimming pool store. I know what goes into a pool to keep it clean, the chlorine, the filters, and so on. A swimming pond, what kind of maintenance, what kind of things do we have to do to maintain that and keep it clean?
Yeah, so we're really relying on Wisconsin Lake and Pond for that piece. They are the experts. So our organization, as Jody said, will continue to fundraise so that we can pay them to come in monthly or more frequently if needed to treat the water. Of course, a pond is going to be more natural than a pool. There won't be the harsh chemicals in there.
Marsha, did I see something about a largemouth bass being part of the picture here?
Yes, there's been a lot of talk about fish in the pond. So we will not have a lot of fish in the pond. It will not be a fishing pond. It's a mm-hmm. swimming pond. However, if we have any issues in the pond with any kind of things we don't want in there, leeches maybe would be an example of that. We're told by Wisconsin Lake and Pond, if you release a bass or two into the pond, they'll take care of all of those things we don't want in there, and they control their own population. So we won't have to worry about having an overabundance of those in there.
Jody, I understand this isn't just, hey, we're going to have a place to swim and get out of the heat. There's going to be things like CPR or swimming training, Red Cross swimming training, other community educational opportunities. What all will happen in this pond when it's open?
Hey, yeah, there's lots of big goals here. The pool used to have CPR training and things like that. And what we've learned from this pond exploration is that we can have all the same benefits that we had with the pool. As Marsha mentioned too, with the largemouth bass, I just wanted to say that those fish like to hide, so they're not going to be a big problem for people as well.
Marsha, this has been going for a while. You're the project manager. What does it feel like now that you're knocking on the door of a grand opening?
Oh my gosh, I can't even explain how good this feels for everyone on our team. I think excitement, happy tears. We've been working on this for so long, and I think it's really sinking in, just the long-lasting impact that this is going to have for our community. And it's going to provide recreation for all ages. And that's why we continue to persevere and persist through all of these challenges with our fundraising and everything, because we want something that's going to serve the entire community, and not just the kids, because it's about everybody. It's about the children, but it's about the whole community too.
Jody, I want you to talk to people around the state who might have that need in their community, replacing something, repairing it, or something new. Might be a swimming pond or pool, might be a museum or baseball field, whatever it might be. What do you recommend to them to get the ball rolling?
Oh, that's a tough one. Persistence. We have a group of women in our committee, 7 very strong women that are very smart and very determined, and a lot of networking. I think we all have a special area. I feel like we've learned a lot about each other in the last 6 years. So I think just building on the skills that everyone has, one of us does a lot of in-person, face-to-face, reaching out to people. I do a lot of computer work. Marsha just has the social skills, and she had a lot of connections with the village board. We have, all of the ladies in our group have just done tremendous contributions to things, and persistence is the word, I would say.
And we'll leave it there. Jody, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you.
And Marcia, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
That was Jody Mohn and Marcia Crooks of the Friends of McKellar Park, Inc. talking about the new swim pond in Blanchardville and what it took to make that community project a reality. They tell us the pond is on track to open in early August.